Our devotional reading this morning is from the 121st Psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. May we pray together. Our Father, this morning we reverence thy name and glorify it, and we acknowledge our deep and abiding need of thee. We humbly pray that thou wilt dip us in thy mercy, that thou wilt bathe us in thy love, and that thou wilt cleanse us from every sin. We pray that thou wilt give us the power to remove from our minds, even now, everything that is foreign to thy spirit. And may the eyes of our beings be fixed upon Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our salvation. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt give us strength. We pray that thou wilt lead us into a larger understanding of thy truth, that being enlightened, we may continually praise thy name. For thou art our strength, our song, and our salvation. In the name and in the spirit of thy Son, we offer our prayers. Amen.
May we ask you to refer to the copy of the covenant that is placed in the hymnal in front of you. For we shall not only take our text from that second page of that covenant this morning, as indicated, you will be asked to peruse more carefully at the close of these few remarks the second section entitled Regarding Our Church. Now, this business of covenant making is always a very serious thing because it is always exceedingly personal. A covenant is a description of areas and methods of commitment. And when that commitment involves me, it is a very serious thing indeed. By all of our preferences here, we are inclined to favor, as being somewhere near the heart of all of these things, the second section, which is the matter of our concern at this moment. We are engaged upon a church enterprise. What we should have to say about it and how we feel and act with reference to it makes a great deal of difference in everything that we are. If we may refer to the first sentence in the paragraph entitled Our Church, we would call your attention to a very significant distinction that is made in the language that is employed at that point. You will notice in the first line, for example, reference is made to an official relationship with a church. And in the third line, the language becomes of membership in a church. And by those two phrases this morning, I want to call our attention to a thing that is perfectly obvious to us, but I think a distinction which could not be overstated, and that distinction, if carefully regarded, might make a great deal of difference, not only with our covenanting with reference to our church, but our whole life of engagement upon it. Here is a distinction between what is called an official relationship with, and on the other hand, or along with it, a membership in a church. In a word, here is a distinction drawn carefully between what we shall call a personal involvement in the way we call a church, and on the other hand, a professional engagement in church vocation. May I turn aside for a moment parenthetically to say that people of our persuasion have usually shunned references to that term professional. I think it represents nothing more serious in our generation than the lingering remains of that day when there was such aversion among our people to a trained leadership in our churches. At one point, that was almost complete. And it has gradually been extirpated until at this present moment, I think we are entitled to use the term professional, at least by way of an analogy that we seek to draw in these moments. Certainly by this time, we mean that one gives all of his time to church leadership or church or Christian vocation. And for that full-time engagement, he is paid for his services. We certainly would add also that our brethren of all generations have been eminently correct in insisting that something more than a semi-secular objectivity would be the point of view from which anyone would occupy the official role of leadership in the church. We hear a good deal of complaint on our campus about, quote, the professional ministry. But strangely enough, the complaint is on the other side altogether. Some of us are engaged in preaching for pay. The rest of us would like very much to be enabled to do that thing. So as we think this morning of a professional engagement upon Christian or church vocation on the one hand, and what we've called personal membership in that church situation on the other, this distinction, I think, will become rather significant in this point of view. We do distinguish between personal Christian experience that any one of us would be qualified in terms of, as that experience would express itself normally in the precincts of a fellowship called the church on the one hand, and on the other, a wise, consecrated leadership enabling one thereby to lead others individually and collectively into such legitimate and altogether creative Christian way. For these purposes, may we refer to what we've already called an analogy. Suppose that every one of us here was a young law student engaged upon preparation for the practice of law. It would be relatively easy in every instance, therefore, to distinguish between what we've called the professional areas of responsibility and whatever personal equipment one might be able to bring thereto. In the young lawyer's engagement at this point in his preparation, we might say that all of his inclinations are bent toward what we shall call rapport with the courthouse, for his interests would center in the technical aspects of a knowledge of the law and its practice in the civil areas of society. On the other hand, that young lawyer would have, in addition to that, and along underneath that, if you please, a personal equipment that he would have to bring if he should have any prospect of successful engagement upon any sort of so-called professional career. You and I this morning would be prepared to insist that the outstanding qualities of a Christian character would be the minimum personal equipment with which any young man would stand to study law and eventually to engage upon that practice. Now, for our purposes this morning, that analogy is exact and complete. Each one of us brings to his present situation two aspects of responsibility, called on the one hand official relationship and on the other membership in the church. For us, it is a great deal more difficult to distinguish between those two than it is for the young lawyer. Our rapport is not with a courthouse, somewhat definitely removed from the personal qualifications of a Christian insight or engagement. Our rapport is with the church house, if you please, the very epitome of our own personal experience and character. As indicated above, for people called Baptists, there has been an insistence upon the spiritual qualifications, those Christian motivations for this professional engagement at the church house. In whatever degree we have insisted upon that, we have tended to confuse almost completely, losing sight of this personal area of individual privilege and responsibility on the one hand, and this leadership at the church house on the other. Failure to distinguish between these two dimensions of our individual responsibility always works great havoc in our own outlook and in the way with which we would address ourselves to our work. Usually, to confuse personal Christian experience and vocational adequacy, shall we call it, means that one may bring nothing more than what we shall call an effervescent sentimentality with which he would seek to lead others. He would have often nothing more than a desire to help somebody with which he would stand before a public congregation and therewith seek to inspire and to lead deliberately into deeper Christian experience. Over against that, all of us would hold in our mind the image of a mature, considered, qualified leadership, leading others in sacred things day by day. Also, the failure to distinguish carefully unavoidably leads to the substitution, eventually the substitution, of this that we call professional engagement for one's own personal piety as a minister. This is unusually poignant for the student as he engages upon preparation for of this thing that we call his ministry. Failure to distinguish as a student renders one usually unwilling to make a careful and adequate study of what we may call the materials of church vocation or Christian leadership in the ministry. To be very specific, if I do not distinguish between my responsibilities as a leader of Christian life and as a person committed devotionally in depth to Christian experience, the chances are in that degree I'm unwilling to look at the Bible or the church itself or methods that would be adequate and therefore successful in being a guide and help to others in this whole business of Christian way. To study these things, one usually says, is a meddlesome profaning of these precious precincts that are really untouchables in our religion. Certainly, to be qualified to study adequately these things with which we would try to be a blessing to somebody else, we must at least assume some degree of objectivity in terms of which we can understand and therefore, with understanding, be that kind of leader. Therefore, to distinguish between the personal and the vocational responsibility of our church and to relate these two creatively to each other in the years to come will always be a very open privilege and grave responsibility. It will be increasingly difficult, may I predict, out yonder in the years ahead, for you as a minister to find what we've called in the covenant personal membership in the church. As you become increasingly obsessed with the dimensions of a professional Christian vocation, you will have less access to the fellowship of the saints in the way of Christian life together than any other member of your church. It will be with some considerable difficulty that you will maintain the personal identification, actually getting over on the other side of your pulpit so as to be a participant in the vital areas of genuine religious piety. The church is actually more accessible in some respects to everyone else in the church than to the one whose duty it is to stand not just as a member, but one who would lead. If in these student days your complaint must be, I am too busy now, it would be to remind you this morning that you hold full membership even now in the 20th century community. Everyone you know is too busy to do what he's doing and do by himself what really deserves to be done. Somehow, here and now, and henceforth always, you must find a way through which, in preparation for and while engaging upon it as a person, you shall be able to combine successfully these two aspects, the one, an official relationship with your church, and the other, the responsibility of membership in the church.